Church, we can do better than that. Let's give heaven a praise offering today. Give him a praise offering. Every single Sunday, I walk into this building and I have the same prayer. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I say, Lord, if this is the last Sunday I ever step foot in Cross Point Church because the trumpet sounds and you call us home, let us give you honor and glory today. Church, give them honor and glory today. Hallelujah. 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 I love that song. It says, this is the same God. I am the same God. With everything in our society and everything in our world and everything in our lives that continue to change, there's this rock in my life that I can just hold on to, and I just know that I just know that I just know he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and he will never change. He will never change. I can always go to him. I can always rely on him. I can always sit down with him in prayer and say, Lord God, meet me right here, right now. Meet me. And the problem that I'm facing, the situation in front of me, the mountain that I look at is nothing, because God comes in and he just, I got this. I got this. We shake and we tremble with all the situations we see on the news, and we shake and we tremble with the very things going on in our lives, from health to whatever. But I tell you what, church, today you walk into a church that believes that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And he is the answer today. Hallelujah. If there's somebody in the house today, if you're watching online and you need a touch today like no other, I want you to do me a favor. We're going to go to prayer. And I'm going to ask you just to take a step of faith and just raise your hand right where you're standing. Just raise your hand. If you need a touch today from heaven, it's okay. Your church family is with you today. Just raise your hand and say, God. And now if you see somebody with a hand raised and God's got you, you just go up and lay a hand on their shoulder and say, I stand with you. The Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I will be in your midst. It's a powerful, powerful representation that God will show up. So if you see somebody with a hand raised, I want you to make your way to them. They need your support. They need you to stand with them today. I see people with hands with nobody standing with them. We're not praying until somebody stands with them, because they need you today. Ladies, grab a lady. Men, grab a guy. You can stand with somebody today and say, I agree with you. And we're going to go to the throne of the living God, and you're going to petition heaven with your pastor praying, and we're going to make a change. We're not going to accept the situation. We're not going to believe that the situation will not change. I believe today that we serve the same God yesterday, today, the scripture says, and forever. We are going to storm the gates, and we're going to go into the throne and petition. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, you see these hands raised today. Father, you know the need before we even spoke it today. You knew the situation developed a million years ago in each and every one of our lives. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we petition the throne of the living God, and we pray together, collectively, and individually that these situations, Lord God, will be resolved. Lord God, we don't accept the situation. Lord God, we believe as a church family that we will stand with one another, and you hear that prayer. The Bible says, Lord God, if we just petition you, you are faithful to answer and faithful to hear. So Lord God, for those situations, Lord God, that those people that are raising that hand, that banner, that flag of surrender today, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name, that the Spirit comes, fills them again. Let them know that you are the same God. Let them know that there's no change in you. Let them know today, above all days, Lord, that you are with them, that you are walking with them. In the deepest valleys of their lives, Father God, I pray that you meet them in a new and fresh way. Deliver to them, Lord God, your answer today. Deliver them, Lord God, that answer. Because you are the same God, and we love you for it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the privilege, Lord God, that we have to do things different. You granted that privilege to us, Lord God. We thank you for that. Lord God, we come to you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Church, give him a shout today. Give him a shout today. Hallelujah. Grab somebody next to you and just tell them how appreciative you are that they showed up today.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, Cross Point Church. Good morning, Cross Point Church. See there? Whew. I feel like I've been to church. I love the power of the living God just coming and showing up at our house right here. I want to just welcome to the platform this morning one of our faithful deacons in this church, Twyla Brenner, who is going to come and make a presentation this morning. Not that we've asked her to, but I think here she comes. Church, let Twyla know how much you appreciate her today.
Wasn't expecting all that. I just want to, I'm up here to say thank you to our pastors. You know, pastoring takes a lot of work. You know, they're our shepherds, they are our overseers for God's kingdom.
You got one coming.
Oh,
I'm a our children's mess. Pastor, yes.
But it takes a lot of work. There are shepherds, they are overseers for God's kingdom of each and every person out here. You know, they dedicate their life, they dedicate all that they have to God and his work, you know, and they're fantastic in what they do. Without them, how would this church run, right? So we just want to show our appreciation for your dedication, your love, your commitment. To each and every one of us.
Thank you.
So first, I'll save you for last.
Okay, great. That might be a bad sign. I don't know.
No, I'm kidding. Pastor Brad, you know, you have been everything to everybody. And even the board, we appreciate you so much for everything that you do. We appreciate your leadership. This man seeks God for everything that he does. Oh. All of the decisions that's made for this church, he seeks God with his whole heart, and we see this. And we just want to show our appreciation for that, to have a pastor like you here leading us and guiding us and directing us.
Well,
so
thank
we
you.
Thank you, Pastor Brad.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I say let's give him a standing ovation and a big shout.
Thank you.
All right. And this lady, she is so full of life and energy. I've seen her up here when she has been sick, can't hardly speak, but God has given her this amazing, yes. beautiful voice that just rocks the house.
Amen.
And she
Amen.
Leads us into worship. And he said, let the true worshipers arise. And that's what she does. She leads us into that. And did you know that a true worshiper, a true leader, will lead us into battle? And that's what Pastor Nicole does. She leads us into battle, you know, before Pastor Brad gives us the word, right? So let's give her a great big shout out, too. Not only is she talented, but beautiful. We thank you so much. And Pastor Amber, God bless her soul, the children's ministry, you know, I did the children's ministry for a really long time, and it is a lot of work. It is a lot of dedication. You have to have that energy. You have to have that spirit. And she has all of that. There's not a moment that I don't go back there, and she's smiling, and she's laughing, and she's so energetic, and we need that for our children today, you know. And she gives them the word of God and the meat that they need right now. So let's thank her and pray over her every day, you know, that she's able to minister to our children. Thank you, Pastor Amber. Yeah, our hero. Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody can do that job. And Pastor Christine, same thing. Like, she does so much behind the scenes that we don't even know. She organizes so much that we don't even know. And she has two small children to take care of in a household. And they have dedicated their life to this church and to you guys. Their heart is in it. They've done so many amazing things. Not only does she also have a beautiful voice and can play that piano, like, I don't know what, you know, she's so talented. And then they also lead the journey night. So their plates are full. So please keep them in prayer. You know, they need strength too, you know. And we just thank you so much for all you do, because it wouldn't happen without you. Yeah. Yes. 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 Pastor Mike. No. He is amazing too. You know, I love to hear his announcements up here. He's also so full of energy and out there greeting everyone at the door. You know, keeping my son in line. That's awesome, you know. He loves Pastor Mike, you know, and he's been so encouraged by you, and he looks up to you. And you are just a leader in this church. I know every time I could be having, like, a really hard day, and I'll come into the church, and he'll say, hi, how's your day today? Everything changes. He's anointing. He's just an anointing to make people smile and to be there for people and be that shoulder. And we just love you guys so much. Like I said, without you, Journey Night and all this would not be possible. We have such a great, loving team. Keep these guys in your prayers and your thoughts every day. And like I said, the poor Mike, when Christine left for time apart, you know. No, not really, poor Mike. I know. Yeah, and he's got an awesome mother-in-law that makes the best salads in the whole world. Yeah. But we just want to thank you so very much. I know me and my family and my husband, we couldn't thank you guys enough. You guys have been such a major blessing to all of us. And I'm so happy to be here. And I'm not going anywhere as long as you'll have me. All right. We love you guys. We love you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. We love you guys.
Hallelujah.
Hey, I just want to say something. Thank you so much, church, for the support. You know, I am blessed as lead pastor to have something that a lot of pastors do not have. And I have something here that, you know, many of our pastors are envious of. We have friends on this platform that support us, love us, and we love them and support them back. And we all get along. And a lot of pastors can't say that, but church, you have a great staff of pastors here. Let's give it up for them, please. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm trying to run off the platform.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, I guess you give you one, too. I'll give you that later, you know. Hug you later, right? I almost forgot to hug my wife. Good morning. Thank you so much. Wow, there's great energy in the building. And I love that, as you know. We just love the power of the living God, just doing what God can only do, right? Thank you for joining us, so many people online. I am just very humbled this morning that I get this opportunity to pastor this great church. You are about the greatest church I've ever seen, ever been in, and it's wonderful to be able to come into God's house and spend time with you. So thank you very much on behalf of Nicole and I and the entire pastoral staff and Twyla, the board. You have a wonderful, wonderful board that are led by the power of God. And your board is literally, there's never division on the board. I can't say they always agree, but they certainly know how to disagree in honor to the Father. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. If you're watching on the Facebook side, thank you so much for joining the YouTube side, the online campus, and the podcast that people listen to throughout the week. And today I was just notified that, you know, number of weeks ago that TikTok, and I'm not into all this, folks, but I know the young people are, and we've always tried to get the word out to the younger crowd. If they're not coming into our church, let's get the word out to them. And TikTok actually contacted us weeks ago and asked if we'd be willing to, you know, broadcast live our services on Sunday morning, and we tried to do that. There's so many hoops to jump through, and that's not my thing. It's people on our staff, specifically our daughter who's gifted there, and Christine and the others. And today we were notified that they are just let us go live. So you're live today, not only on all the platforms that we broadcast to, but TikTok, who's going to probably be the largest platform we get the word out to. Welcome to Cross Point Church, TikTok followers today. We are just loving Jesus and serving heaven, right? That's what we do. Now, next week, I've got a special message for you that God has laid on my heart. It is called Message 2024 for the election. So it's Election 2024, a Christian perspective. I just believe it's time that the pulpit speaks to things that are going on, not only in our country, but to the election. I would highly encourage you to invite somebody to come in next week, come into the house, because your pastor is going to speak on the biblical perspective of your election specifically, but what goes on in our nation. Now, I will just tell you right from the get-go, before you even leave here today, that I probably will offend everybody, right? So I'm glad we did pastor appreciation today, right? Right, let's get that up, because I got a feeling if we would have did it the following week, because Pastor Appreciation Month is all of October. So thank you, board, for spending a little time with us on Pastor Appreciation Sunday, which is today. But the whole month, I guess, there's a Pastor Appreciation Month. So we know how to slide things in there. The Holy Spirit knows how to work that out, right? I would ask that you come in next week, because we're going to speak to what the Bible talks about, right? And we'll touch on that a little bit today. Church, we're in a series called Divine Shift, to shift, to change, or reposition your life. And week one, allow me some time, just a couple seconds here. I won't get into it too deep, but I know there's people here that have not been here for a couple weeks, and they don't know, or they don't know the background that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. So I'm going to do a quick little review, if you don't mind. The first week, we talked about time and seasons, specifically. Understanding God's timing is the key to unlocking a divine change or a repositioning in your life. We talked about time. We talked about seasons, that there are two specific new seasons the Bible references, new seasons, right? There's a duplication of the season you used to be in, or years ago, that God's just going to reintroduce. It's a duplication. And then there's a brand new season that God gives you. Now, we're always looking for that brand new thing. Until we get to the brand new thing, we say, no, God, that's not what I wanted, right? And those are the seasons of the newness, right? We talked about that. God talks about time in the Bible, chronological time, which is what we live in, right? Minutes, days, seconds, all that good stuff, years. The Greek word for chronos is for chronological time. And then God talks about the right time, the opportunity, the opportune time in your life, the kairos time. The Greek word. It's a kairos time. It is the right time. You're blessed with the right time. It's an opportunity for you. And then there's a third called plero. That's the Greek word plero time. It means the fullness of that time. It's everything God wanted for you. It's everything, the fullness of the moment, or the fullness of the season as you go through it. The timing of the season is full. And to give you just a quick little idea or reference to it, Jesus arrived and was brand new. His arrival was brand new, right? There's the season at the right time. And it was for complete fullness. That's all three. And Jesus satisfies them all. Aren't you happy about that? Yeah. Week two, we talked about thinking differently, which is a struggle for some of us. That's a change or repositioning that requires us to think different than we normally think. And I use Joshua 1 as the Israelites were moving to inherit the promised land. Joshua 1 laid out 9 strategies that God used with them to get them to move forward. A divine shift, a change into a new season with new timing. And he gave this to them, and I talked about them, and we talked about accepting responsibility. Accept responsibility, right? Do what God expects you to do. Then have great faith. That's a divine repositioning that requires more faith than normal. Like, we can live in chronological time and have faith, but God may want you to do something that requires some really big steps of great faith. And that's what he asked them to do. Be flexible. The Israelites were waiting for 40 years to get into the promised land because of their disobedience. God came in and said, Joshua, you're moving out in 3 days. You got to be flexible. Sometimes God wants you just to go, right? Just like the group that went down to North Carolina, they just decided to go. And thank you very much from the pastor's office and pastor's heart. Thank you very much for following that and just going, right? Being flexible. Bible talks about remembering the basics. He told Joshua, listen, just remember these basics. Meditate on the law. Meditate on this. Just remember those as you move to your next season. Remember the past promises I gave you. I promise I'll give you this land. Just believe that. Accept that. Walk into that. The Bible is filled with those promises. Be obedient. Joshua 1 talks about obedience 12 times. Obedience. Obedience, right? The two things that we talked about here a few weeks ago that you need to have is obedience and your faithfulness and perseverance. That's how you get into that moment of opportunity, the right time, is be obedient and persevere. He's telling them to do that. You'll fight battles. You're always going to fight battles, he told them. But the closer you get to victory, the fiercer the battle becomes. So you know you're close to victory. It's going to get tight, right? Accept some help. Three of the tribes have already inherited what God had blessed them with, but he said, go get those guys and help the ones that are waiting to inherit the promised land. So, church, don't be afraid to accept some help, right? Then be at peace. Joshua 1:9 uses the word dismayed. And the reference to that is don't crack or break up. Just keep on keeping on, right? Last week we talked about just being different. Now, I know there's some people in this church that are just different. Right? I'm one of them. We're just different. We're just different. We talked about that last week. Jesus went up to Matthew and he says, follow me. And that's a physical follow. Like, get up from the table because you're taking taxes. Get up and follow me physically. But what the reference really is, when you dive into the meaning, is he's saying, listen, I want you to get up and be like me. It's going to take some time. And he's saying, be like me. What's that mean? Be different. Jesus says, I'm different. Come be with me. Come follow me and be different like me. Right? And I told you it started with some big shifts internally, right? Some repositioning inside of you. And we talked about ownership inside of you. And where's your loyalty? Matthew was sitting at the tax table and his loyalty was to the government and collecting taxes. Jesus says, be different. Get up and do it different. Right? Do it different. The ownership shifted. His loyalty shifted from his employer, the government, to Jesus. And boy, was that a blind faith. He really didn't know anything about him. But he says, I'm going to do it different, right? We talked about leadership shifting inside of us. When Jesus was at the waterside and he sees some people fishing, Peter and Andrew specifically, he says, follow me, same thing. But then he adds this. He says to them, follow me. I'm going to now make you fishers of men. You're going to lead now. And so you got to understand, church, that you're called to lead. Lead people to Jesus is what he's telling you. And then we talked about relationships shifting inside of us. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied in his discussion, just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. There's your relationship, right? See, we struggle with being different because we value that conformity or that fitting in. And we talked about that last week. But Jesus dared us to be different, not just better. And why does he do that? He did that because the title of today's message, he did that because he wants us to do different. He wants us to do different. He wants us to think different. He wants us to be different. But he wants us to go out and do different things. Some of those different things, your neighbors and friends and family, they may say, you're nuts, right? You're nuts. But we go out and we're going to be and do different things. And we're going to talk about that today. So the question I have to open is, are you open for that? Are you up for that? Church, are you up for doing different? Amen. Are you up for that? We're going to do different things as believers. And what is that talking about? That's talking about perspective, how you view things. Let me give you a story. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, and I was so young back then. I mean, I was probably 2, 3, right? You know? Right? I know this. I had hair. Right? But back in the 70s and early 80s, there is this movement in the Christian community called positive confession. Now, some of you that are older understand what I'm going to say here in a minute. Some of the younger are going to say, boy, they were different, right? And this positive confession movement said this. It said, if you just claim something in the name of Jesus, you'll get it. And some of the people in the Christian community call that name it, claim it. You remember that now, folks? You're shaking the older people that are at least 30. They're saying, yeah, I remember that. Now, yeah, I was a little bit younger. I was still, you know, a teenager. And I remember that because this big move, name it, claim it. And if you didn't get what you claimed to name, right, you claimed you weren't spiritual enough or you didn't have the faith to get it. Now, that's a perspective. That's a viewpoint, right? Now, I'm a youngster feeling God's tug at my heart, thinking, you know, I'm a believer. And I'm thinking, wow, that just really different. But when I got to high school, it kind of got me like, man, this is odd. And I will tell you that I kind of backed away from the things of God in my high school days, and that was the early 80s, right? Uh-oh, right? So I'm thinking, this is odd, because I didn't see God like that. I didn't see God as this genie that I could just say, that's mine, and I get it. It's not what I just said, well, wait a second. What I thought was God told us in his word what he would do. I stand on that. And that's kind of what brought me back. Grounded in the word of what God said, not what I claim I should get. But see, that's the perspective. And that perspective went through the Christian community for quite some time. See, to do different, we got to be different, right? To do different, we must be different. We must see things differently, see it through a different lens. Right? How we view things and how we see things. It's our filter. Let me give you a little quick demonstration. I bring this glass of water up. Thank you, Pastor Christine, because I was hunting for a glass throughout the church. You know, so I say perspective. And so we hear this saying, this goes like this. The glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Now, I'm going to ask you a question today, and I'm going to put you on the spot because I have my own personal perspective. Right? So here's a glass of water. And this glass has seen better days too. Right? Wow. So I just want to say a show of hands, how many really think that this is glass is what? Half full. You can raise your hand. It's no big deal. It's half full. Right? How many think this glass is half empty? Oh, come on. Charles, thank you so much. Thank you. Before we come up, oh, thank you, Jody. Right? So, you know, it's not a trick question. It's not. If I drink it, it'll be empty, right? But some of us look at this, and it's not a trick question because it's just perspective, right? Half full, half empty. Now, I will tell you the pastor's perspective, and then I will tell you my wife's perspective, right, of what the pastor's perspective is. My perspective is that it's half empty sometimes and half full others times. It just depends on how I'm doing that day, or that week, or that month. My perspective shifts. Sometimes I look at that glass and say, wow, that's half full. We don't have much farther to go. You know, sometimes, oh my gosh, it's half empty. Where did it all go? And you know I'm telling you the truth because you all feel that way too. So those that raised their hand at certain times, and so those that didn't, it just depends on how you're feeling today. Your perspective today changes your thought process, because your thought process might be different next week. Things are a little bit better. So you'll look at that glass half full or half empty a little bit different. You know that's exactly how we do it. We do it in life. That's how we do it. And those two things of optimism and pessimism is in the glass, right? You're optimistic if the glass is half full. You're pessimistic if it's half empty. And that's what people try to tell us and whatnot. And I just think God has gifted us the privilege to see it differently. And the filter that we use is our personal filter. But Jesus comes along and says, no, I got a different filter for you. And sometimes we end up going back to the old filter of me and looking at that glass and saying, that's the filter I see it today. When Jesus says, my filter never changes. I'm the same God. Thank you, Nicole, for singing that song. I'm the same God. So the filter remains the same, but your filter will change based on how you feel. And then that feeling will determine how you think. And how you think will determine how you are. And then how you are will determine what you do. Right? Think differently, be different, do different. But right in the middle of all that is how you're viewing it in your perspective. See, we've got two perspectives, ours and heaven's. One doesn't change and one does. And we're pulling ourselves in between those two filters. Let me give you an example, John 9, 1 through 2. Follow with me, church. As he passed by Jesus, he saw this guy, this man. He's blind from birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, hey, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? What a question, right? Now, if you're born blind back in biblical times, you pretty much have no hope. You have really one option, to beg. You're begging for help. You're begging for food. You're begging, right? Today, there's a lot of different agencies and help, right, to help you. Back then, there wasn't a lot. There was really nothing, right? So they begged, and the disciples have a perspective. And then that perspective, their filter, they asked Jesus this question, somebody had to sin. Somebody had to do the wrong thing. Somebody's doing different. They have to. Why? Because the guy's blind. He sinned or his parents sinned. That's their filter. That's their perspective, right? Jesus, you know, it was their understanding, just as it is common today, folks, that people kind of have that same kind of perspective. We think sometimes if someone has trouble or they're in a bad spot or something happens in their life, that we kind of think that they're a failure or maybe they had some type of situation in their life that God's punishing them. And I'm going to tell you, right, that's just not accurate. Right? So Jesus comes back and he says this perspective, right? He comes back and says in John 9:3, listen, it was not that the man sinned or his parents, but the works of the Lord, works of God, might be displayed in him. See, you're viewing him differently. I'm viewing him differently. You're seeing him as a failure. You're seeing him as a guy that probably had sin in his life. I'm seeing him that God's setting him up so God can come in and do something big. And there's people sitting here today and people watching online that you are in that exact same spot. You're sitting here or watching online saying, that's me. And there's people around you saying, you did something. You did something wrong or you didn't do something right. And Jesus comes and says, no, here's my perspective. God's going to use you. You just haven't gotten to that spot yet. I'm going to use you. You're just not there. And then God's glory, his majesty, everything in heaven is going to show up in you. You're my chosen one. Folks, there's people sitting here today. You are the chosen one. You are the one that God is going to use. You just haven't arrived there yet. Your perspective may be, I'm blind, I'm just begging, I got nothing. And Jesus comes through and says, wait, you're not there yet. You're going to have to do it different, though, to get there. Watch what happens, folks. A simple scripture that we've had many times, but I'm going to teach you something today, I pray. So it's not that the man sinned, he says. It's not that the parents sinned, no. So the disciples have a pessimistic view. The glass is half full. Jesus says, no, it's always an optimistic view. God's work's going to be displayed in them. You know, we're coming up on New Year's, right? A few months away, it's going to be New Year, right? And you know I tease almost every year about this, these New Year's resolutions, right? But psychologically, we think, church, that when we get to the new year, we will do it different on January 1st than we did on December 31st. We'll do different, right? And a lot of people wrap around this do different thing in the new year just because psychologically it's a fresh start. There's no difference between the days on the calendar. It's still God's chronological time. It's just the next day. But your perspective, and maybe mine at times, is I'm going to do it different in this year than last year. Nothing wrong with that. But the studies say you get to day 20 of your New Year's resolution and you're done. Why? There's no foundation. There's no perspective on what it really means. There's no Jesus maybe there saying this is the works that God's going to display. You're thinking different. Just because the calendar says a day doesn't mean you're going to do different on that day. And Jesus comes in and defines a day for us. John 9:4, he says, we must do the works of him who sent me, he's talking about him, while it is day. That means you have to do different in this day. Why? Because night's going to show up and we can't work anymore. Now hold on. He's introducing something here to you. He's saying, make the best use of your chronos chronological time on that day. Make the best use of it. Because you won't always have it. John 9:5, he explains further, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm here with you, walking with you, as long as I'm next to you, we're going to continue to do different. But when I'm gone, it's going to be different. You'll have to do different on your own. I'm not going to be physically here helping you along. I'll be here with you, but the power of the Holy Ghost, they didn't understand at that point, but it's going to be different. He makes this thing about the night's coming. Scripture says that when the night's coming, that means Jesus is not going to be physically there anymore, right? The night's coming. The night is coming, folks. We're closer to the night than we have ever been. This is what that scripture means. An earth void of Jesus, void of the power of the living God. But I'm going to tell you something here. The church will be gone. Church will be gone. And those that remain will be those that didn't believe this. And we're closer than you think. And Jesus is introducing what we call a perspective of being proactive. And that's doing different. He's just simply saying to us that, listen, I'm not going to always be here each day walking with you. But I do expect you to do things differently when I'm not here. Because there will come a time at night where it will never be the same anymore, right? You know, recently in a Forbes article, if you read Forbes magazine, I do occasionally, not too often, right? Thank you, Noah, right? Forbes magazine, you know. But you come across this article, and I don't want to get into the article or anything, but there's the point of the article was, you know, this one of the writers said, listen, this is how I screwed up my day. Jesus teaches us the day. He says, this is how I screwed up my day. I work too much each day at the expense of my family and my relationships. I work too much each day. And I allowed my marriage to break up because I work too much daily. I worried too much about what others would think. I didn't take the time to teach my children just the practicalities of life. I associated with people who led me in a bad direction. Every single day. And then I didn't care for my health when I was healthy. You know, he's looking at the days of his life, and really, he's talking about regret. Because each day never changed to do something different the next day. And what he was saying was, every day I found myself doing the exact same thing the previous day, and it was always destructive. And then one day, he remembered and saw everything falling apart, and he remembered, if I just would have changed and did something different on one day, do different on one day, every day that followed would have been a shift to a different thing. And he writes about it, says, this is what I regret. In a magazine, right? The importance of the day, and Jesus says, listen, the importance of the day is just be proactive and do something different because I won't be here in the night. You got today, right? Remember, Christ reminds us that the day is almost over, but it isn't over yet, church. We still have time to do things different. You get another day. You're not out of time. You may be out of time tonight, or you may wake up tomorrow morning and be out of time, but you're not out of time today. And that's what Jesus is saying. At the nighttime, I'm not going to be around. You're out of time. So let's be proactive today. Remember, to do different, we must see different, right? To do different, we got to see different. Jesus will ask us to view things different. Watch what happens in John 9, 6 through 7. So having said these things, Jesus, he spits on the ground, and he made some mud with the saliva. Wow, it's going to get really interesting. Then he anointed the man's eyes, right, with the mud. And he said to him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, church, I mean, I could have picked a million scriptures to show you what the perspective of doing something different, but I tell you what, when some guy shows up that you don't even know and starts spreading saliva and mud together and anointing your eyes, that means he's putting it in there and rubbing it around. And then he says, go down to this pool. It's different. It's weird. Some of us would say, get the mud off my face. I ain't doing it. It's crazy. It's controversial because it was on the Sabbath. Right? See, the scripture always has something to tell us today, church. Everything Jesus did in the Bible had a point to it. And we're going to grab that point today. He's testing the man's faith. He's really saying, do you trust me even though you don't really know me? Today we know him and some of us don't trust him. Right? We know him. So the guy has a decision to make. See, you can tell what a person believes by observing the activity of their life. You know what they believe by what they do and whether they do it different. So here's the guy, got some mud on his face, got some saliva mixed in with them, right? There's no eye drops to clear him up, right? So he's told to go down to the pool. How'd he get there? He can see, right? Trust, go down to the pool. It was different and it didn't make sense. Church, what would we do today if we were asked to do something different that didn't make sense? How many of you ever been laid on your heart that there's this conviction to do something and we don't do it? How many times have we heard this phrase, I was convicted to do this? And some of us say, I was convicted to do that and I did it. And some of us say, I was convicted to do it and I didn't do it. Right? But there's a conviction there. And what's the conviction? It's God tapping you on the shoulder saying, I need you to go down to the pool. You don't understand it. You don't get it. I still need you to go down to the pool and just trust me to go down to the pool with your eyes filled with mud and saliva. Go down to the pool and I'm going to bless you. You just got to go down there and trust. And you got to take some steps to get there. It's going to be different. That's on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to heal people and stuff. You're not allowed to do this on that day, but I want you to go do it anyways. Do it different. When everybody else is looking around, do something different. If you want a shift in your life, that is, you can't see and you have the opportunity to see, this is the man, the blind man, you got to go down and do as I say. You could go down to the pool and wash it off and nothing happens and you've lost nothing. Nothing. Well, you can go down to the pool and take every step of the way and say, I trust this guy. I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I'm going to go down to that pool and I'm going to trust him, right? We need to ask God to open up our eyes to see things differently so we can do something different. But sometimes we got to do out of the ordinary, folks. Sometimes we got to do the extraordinary before anything ever happens, and we just got to take a step of faith to go down the pool to make a change, right? So let's talk about the results of the blind man getting healed. The blind man got excommunicated from the synagogue. He got healed, but they kicked him out. John 9, 35 through 41, follow me on the screen behind, or if you're watching from home, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. You're not allowed to be doing this stuff on the Sabbath. Get out of here. It doesn't even make sense, right? And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Church, do you believe in the Son of Man today? And he answered, and who is he, sir? You know, notice he doesn't say, and who is he? He says, and who is he? Sir, it could be you, right? You say, oh me, it could be you, right? That I may believe in him. Jesus says, you've seen him. Why didn't Jesus say you hear him? He says, you see him. Why does he say see? Why did he say you've heard about him? Why did he just say he's standing right in front of you? Why, you see him, right? I love this stuff you pick up in scripture. And it was he who was speaking to you, because you see him, right? You know. He said, Lord, I believe. I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see me and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard all these things, and they said, are we also blind? Church, I hope you don't have any blind people here today. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we can see, your guilt remains. You know who I am. You know I can do these things. Church, you know he can change your life. You know he can turn your life upside down. You know he can have you do different things that make you radically change what you do every day. Now you know. Now the question is, now what do we do? Right? Now what do we do? See, there was consequences to follow Jesus and go down to the pool. There were consequences. He's got excommunicated. He's been kicked out. But guess what? He can see physically, and now he can see spiritually. Because the man that he sees is the man that healed him, and there is Jesus. And he will never see the same things again, ever. His perspective just changed. His perspective is different now. Because on that day, in that moment, he went down to the pool and he said, Jesus is going to send me down. I'm going to go. I don't know. And now his perspective is different. That's why I told you at the beginning that my perspective sometimes changes. Sometimes I don't trust Jesus as much as I should. Sometimes I don't believe as much as I should. Sometimes I just, God, come on. Right? See, Christ offers us the privilege to see things in a new way so we can do different things. Right? So how do we do different things? Stay with me for a few more minutes. How do we do different things? We don't live in the same two worlds. James 4:4, it says, James, who is, of course, the younger brother of Jesus, puts it this way. You adulterous people, you don't know the friendships with the world means enemy of God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be friends of the world becomes an enemy of God. He identifies two worlds, the kingdom and the world that we live in. You got to make a choice. Your perspective has got to show up and make a choice. If you want to do things different, there's two perspectives because there's two worlds. Where are we going to live? James knew Jesus. That's his brother, right? He grew up with him. He watched him. He watched Jesus be a different person than everybody else. So he felt like, I've got something to say. I get it now. My perspective is, I've watched him do these things. I know who he is. And he is truly a man that does it different. See, we can't be a friend of God if we're seeking to be relevant to the world. That's our perspective. We've got to make a choice. And that's what he's saying. It's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and those things shall be given unto you, right? That's why he says that. The thoughts like this, we have the mind of Christ, we'll first seek the things of Christ, right? If our perspective is on the kingdom side, we're going to seek the kingdom things. The kingdom mindset, it's called, right? To do different things. Pastor, what's another thing that we could do different? How can we do different things? Don't sacrifice your faith for popular opinion, church. Boy, you're going to hear this next week. The Apostle Paul writes a letter in the Galatians, right? The Galatia. He writes a letter. I'm going to read it here in a second. But he writes a letter. He's concerned because he's spoken to them. He's told them and he's revealed Jesus and they've accepted Jesus. They know Jesus. But what they started to do is started to sacrifice their faith because the popular opinion wasn't what it needed to be for them. And Jesus is saying, Paul's saying, go do it different. Stay in Christ. Don't try to muddy the waters with popular opinion. Don't worry about it. Which kingdom are you going to live in, church? Which kingdom are we going to live in? Where's your citizenship, Paul talks about? Which kingdom is that, right? Where are we going to live? The Galatians were seeking to be relevant within their current system. I don't know, church, maybe it's just me. I don't care about being relevant to the world. I just don't. With their attempts to win the lost, the Galatians, they found themselves moving away from the original message of salvation, which they were receiving through Paul. They started backing away from it. Why? It wasn't as popular as they wanted it to be. And the whole thing was Paul saying, you got to go do it different because this is radically different. Stand up. Right? And I got a question, though. Are our thoughts today driven by popular opinion? Or are they driven by the kingdom of the living God? Right? Are our opinions biblical? Galatians 1, 6 through 9, watch what he writes. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and they're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Boy, that never happens today, right? Church, right? But even if we are, an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, right? Let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Church, today the devil is throwing everything he has at the believer to limit our influence on the world. Tough message today and next week. And let me give you one of those things he's throwing at you as I wrap it up today. Here's the one thing, one of the many, but here's a big one today. Election 2024, he's throwing politics at us. He's throwing politics at us. Why? Because he wants to separate people in the church. Because if he could separate people in the church with politics or some other thing, but this, it's politic time, right? It's political season. So he'll throw politics at us, and if he can get a division in the church, he's victorious. That's why your pastor now feels led to speak on election 2024, a Christian perspective. Church, we're going to be the church. We're going to be the church of Jesus Christ. Somebody's got to get excited about being the church of Jesus Christ, right? And Paul's telling the Galatians, you know, listen, you got to be the church now. You got to be different. Church, we're afraid of being different anymore because doing different, being different isn't popular. And if we're not going to be different, who's going to be different? Right? See, we need to learn to lose our dignity for his deity. If we care about what God thinks, we'll do things different. Is there anybody in the house today that cares about what God thinks? And you need to be here next week. You need to be here for a message that I've never preached. Because I'm going to do it different. I'm going to do it different. And it's going to be a message to speak to the Christian perspective of where we're at today and what we're doing. It's the message Paul wrote to the Galatians. Don't run with the popular opinion. I came here to make you do it different. Don't sacrifice Jesus so you could stay popular or relevant to the current world. If you're watching online, next week's a great time to settle into Cross Point Church and watch, because we're going to talk about that even more so than today. And I'm wrapping up my series called Divine Shift. And what's the shift in your life? What's the repositioning that God has for you and I today? We got to think different. We got to be different. We got to do different, church. We got to get back to being the church of Jesus Christ to get a shift in your life. The power of the living God shows up. When you go out, you're different. The Bible says we're aliens in this world. I'm the weirdest looking alien there is. I'm going to do the most different things that I possibly can. And I want the church at Cross Point to do it with me. So today I'm going to ask you a favor. I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want to know. I just want to pray for people that are going to commit to heaven, to do it different, to shift their life from where they're at to where God's going to take you, to do it different than you did it yesterday, because the night's going to show up. And when the night shows up, church, I want to be doing it different for the kingdom. I want to be the citizen of the kingdom. I don't care about being relevant to the world. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. You're not coming down front today. I just want to pray. If that's you, just slip up your hand. God sees a commitment in your heart to do it different. Just raise your hand as a banner to heaven. Say, Pastor, no one's looking around. Don't worry about that. Just say, I am going to do it different. And I am right with you, raising my hand in the mighty name of Jesus. You can put your hands down. Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray for victory today. I pray for what Paul wrote to the Galatians. Don't be relevant to the world. Be relevant to the kingdom. Stay adhering to the kingdom. Do it different like I taught you. Let's make a shift. Lord God, for those people that raised their hand, Lord God, bless them today. Keep them today. Lord God, let them stand when we dismiss and go out into the community and let people see the difference that they make. Like going down to states down south to deliver supplies, to feeding people on a Wednesday night, to ministering to children that never go to church. Whatever we have to do, Lord God, let us be different. Let people look at Cross Point Church and the people that call this place home and say, that's a different church. I want to go there. Let us start to be different, Lord, and let the shift in our lives take place. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me, because I feel like as we wrap up this series and we move into election 2024 next week, I still believe Jesus has victory. If that's your cry, give him praise. God bless you.
You are the King of Glory.